Thank you, ladies, and all God's people said. I appreciate that song. I appreciate you singing. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, the book of Philippians, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be back at a familiar passage where we started the year. I'm going to read, and we're going to go through some more that's in that passage of Philippians chapter 3. But before I do, I want to be sure to say a huge thank you to those that were out canvassing yesterday and passing out tracts and inviting people for Bible school in Awana. Be sure to take some flyers with you and pass them out to those that you have contact with this week. We got about half of the town covered, and we'll try to get the other half covered this week. So if you can help in any way, please let us know. And please be in prayer for the needs of the church. One is for Bible school. Pray that God will really bring a good number, and Lord, that the Lord will really do a work in hearts, and Lord, that many might come to know the Lord. That's certainly our prayer. Also pray for Jan. She is under the weather, or whatever we want to say, so pray for her. She was in having checking yesterday to see if she had an appendicitis, but I guess not. But to pray for her, so she's home, pray for her healing. Since she's in charge of Bible school, it's kind of important she has a good week. So anyway, pray for her. Pray for John. His last treatment is tomorrow. Is that correct? And he's officially done, so continue to pray for him. But good to have you here and be a part of our service. Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. And of course, this is Paul's goals, and you'll note that on the wall behind me, where this has been our goal, is to know him. Paul says that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing. Let's pray. I do thank you for your word, and Lord, we thank you for the privilege to preach and teach, and thank you for the privilege to look into this great passage this morning. And Lord, may you teach us what is here, and Lord, may we be challenged to live it out in daily living, that we might please you and glorify you in all things. Lord, we need you to work, and we need you to teach us. And Lord, we ask for you to have your way in what will in this service, because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Obviously, as you know, we've been spending time, that's been our theme this year, is to know him. And in the early part of this passage, Paul gives us some of the goals, and that's what we, on the first Sunday of January, that we preached on, some of the goals that Paul had that we ought to have. But I'm going to add on to that and spend some time this morning. Is Paul teaches us several things that we need to keep in mind if we are going to keep on growing. It is important that that is our goal, our lifelong goal. And if you've ever taken your children on a trip, one of the first questions you're going to ask is, are we there yet? And your children are going to ask that question as little ones many times, are we there yet? Or this question was often asked, when are we going to stop? That question, you know what it's like, when are we going to stop? My answer normally was, no, we're not there yet, and we're not going to stop. That was normally my answer, even though that didn't pan out quite that way with children traveling. But it's much the same way in the Christian life. Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. When are we going to stop? Not till heaven. And those same answers we ought to always keep in mind. We have not arrived yet. We have not reached perfection. We've not reached Christ-likeness yet, nor will we until we get to heaven. And we're never to stop pursuing and pressing on until Jesus Christ either comes or calls us home in death. We are to keep going forward. And that's what Paul, the whole theme that Paul really hits when he talks about his goal, he really then zeroes in on to several different things. I'm going to bring out six this morning that we need to keep in mind so we keep pressing on, going forward for Jesus Christ, striving to be like Him, striving to be used by Him, striving to bring glory to His name. And so I'm going to give you the six this morning that are really important. The first one is we need a proper awareness, and that you find in verse 12. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. Paul realized that he had an acute awareness, probably like no one else, that he had not arrived to perfection yet. He hadn't made it. Now, I want you to note, this is the Apostle Paul. And if Paul at this age in his life can look at it and say, I haven't made it yet, I think we ought to certainly say, I haven't made it yet. I grew up in a church when we were young. There was a gentleman that was there, and his view was that at some point in life, and he stood up several times and gave testimony to the fact that he had reached perfection. And we would all joke, there was five boys in our family and one girl, and us as boys would kind of, because we knew him because he was our uncle. We knew he had not reached perfection. We knew that. It was pretty obvious, okay? But he would stand up in a testimony in time because his belief was that once you got so mature in Christ, you reached perfection. Or some people believe that there's a spiritual zap, a second anointing, or whatever they might call it, to where you become just like Christ in your, and not only in your standing, but in your practice. Paul realized that that had not happened, nor was it going to happen. And the words that he used, obtained, it means to receive or acquire or attain. I've not attained onto it yet. I'm not reached perfection. Paul realized that he was perfect in his standing, but he was not perfect in his every aspect of his Christian life. He was not perfect yet. He knew a lot, but he was not perfect in knowledge. He was striving to be like Christ, but he wasn't like Him yet. He was had the power of God upon his life, but he, guess what? He did not have all power because he didn't always yield to the Holy Spirit's control. He had fellowship, but that was dependent on living sinlessly, and at times it was broken. And knowing this, Paul was not discouraged. It challenged him to press on. And one of the things we need to realize, we have not reached, nor will you reach in this lifetime, perfection. If you don't believe or think you've arrived, ask your wife or your children. And they can tell you, no, you haven't made it yet. And if the truth is known, none of us have ever or will ever be totally like Christ until He calls us home. And you'll note 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we are changed on the way up. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we are changed. Now, some people have that on the 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse, that we all shall be changed. They have it on their nursery door. Well, that is not quite the meaning. The meaning is this: we will be changed in the image of Christ when the Lord calls us home, but not until that. And we need a proper awareness. And here's what he says. He says in verse 12, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. He understood he had not made it yet. I think there's a second thing that we have to understand. If we are going to continue on and press on and grow to be like Christ, we also have to realize God wants us to give it maximum effort. In other words, we need to put some work into it. And here's what he says. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about he's been apprehended of Jesus Christ to be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and verse 29. Most of you could quote verse 28, but you'd have a little trouble probably with 29. But here's what it says. He says, and we know, verse 28, that all things work together for good to them who are called of God, to them who love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate or predetermined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's plan is, his work in us is to change us to be like himself. That is the ultimate. And we need to put some work into it. But I follow after that I may apprehend or lay hold of that which also I am apprehended of Christ. I've been apprehended of Christ to be like him. Follow after means I press on, I run after, I aggressively put my energy into it. It means I strain, I pursue, I use every ounce of muscle and effort to be like Christ. It takes work that I may lay hold or catch, that I am apprehended of Christ to be like him. Paul lived in dependence upon Christ, but gave his life in service and work to be like Christ. Now, let me ask you this question. If you never ate, how long would you last? You wouldn't last long. So you have to put some effort in. You have to eat, or someone has to feed you. But you have to eat and you have to drink, and or you're going to die physically. We also, as Christians, have to put some effort in it for us to grow. You have to come to church. You need to spend time in the Word and spend time in prayer and listen to the Holy Spirit and obey His voice. It takes effort. It takes work. And Paul says, I put every ounce of my energy into this, press on, work hard, put my life into it, that I might attain onto being like Jesus Christ. That's his pursuit, and that ought to be our pursuit. It takes an awareness that we'll never make it totally in this lifetime, but we are to give it maximum effort. We're to work at it. You'll note several verses that Paul uses to explain that. The Christian life is called, referred to as striving and laboring in Colossians 1:29. It's fighting the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It's through many tribulations we must enter in Acts 14:22. Suffering is unavoidable in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. It's referred to a boxing match in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26. In Ephesians 6:12, a wrestling match. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, like fighting. It's effort. It's putting sweat in the game. It's a laboring. It's working at it. It just doesn't happen naturally. We submit to the Holy Spirit, and he works on us, and he works in us, and we must obey him for him to work through us. I think it's the third one is this. It's not only a proper awareness, but a maximum effort, but it also takes a focused concentration. Like any runner, he has to focus on the finish line. He doesn't look at the crowd. I ran in track, and I know one of the things you were taught, you don't look at the crowd, you don't look at the runners next to you, you don't look at the cheerleaders when you're a young man, you look at the end, you look at the goal. And here's what he says. Look with me at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, I want you to notice a couple things in that verse. One is the negative part, or you could call it negative. I'm not to be looking back, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, all of us have things in our past that we are to learn from, but we're not to dwell on. And it's very easy for us to get sidetracked and to dwell on the past and to dwell on problems or dwell on people or dwell on events that have happened. Those things are only going to drag us down. They're going to get us off track, and they're going to keep us from reaching our goal. And so we need a proper view, a focused concentration on the finish line and not always looking back. As long as we look back, we're going to go off course or we're going to stop and quit. And one of the problems that happens when we look at the past failures or mistakes or problems, we get discouraged and off-focused. Or if we look at the victories, and then we become proud and say, how wonderful I was. We're not supposed to dwell on the past. We're supposed to look forward. And he says, I reach forth, I stretch, I strain toward that finish line. I strain toward the victory. I strain toward being right with Christ and being used by Christ and seeing Christ and being with Christ. He focused on the finish line. In Hebrews chapter 12, most of us know that passage. Chapter 11 is the men who walk and women who run the race by faith. This is wherefore we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith or of our race. And we as Christians are going to be victorious if we focus on him and focus on the finish line and focus on victory and focus on pleasing him and being with him for all eternity. But as long as we look at others and look at the past and look at events that took place, which are many bad ones and heart-wrenching ones and painful ones, we'll never go forward. Paul says, I need to forget the past. I want you to know just a little bit of one of the things that Paul referred to when he talked about his past. He never got over the fact that he put Christians in jail, in prison. That he was there consenting unto the death, the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He never forgot it. I can't imagine what that was like. To always remember the look on their face, the screaming, the hollering of their families. I can't imagine it. Paul had horrible things that he had been through. Horrible things happened to him. Read 2 Corinthians of chapter 11 and 12. Read those chapters in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Read what he went through. Terrible things. But Paul kept his eyes on the finish. And see, those things could have stopped him. They could have been so discouraging and heart-wrenching that it kept him from doing what God wanted him to do. See, we're to learn from our past, but we are not to allow our past to keep us from victory. And we're to reach forth. A focused concentration upon him, not others, not the race. Not how hard it is, not how long it's taken, not what's happening with other people. We're to focus upon him. Not only does it take a proper awareness that we'll never arrive in this lifetime, takes maximum effort to keep running, it also takes focused concentration on the finish line. But I want you to note also a powerful motivation. Here's his motivation. Look with me at verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He knew that one of these days he was going to either go home in the rapture or go home in death. But he knew he was headed home. And heaven was his eternal abode. It was home. And he says, I press on. I continually bear down on the goal. I press toward receive the prize. I'm looking forward to that. I press on until I'm upward calling, either by death or the rapture, for the prize that is before me. I look forward to it. And see, it took that motivation because then he knew that he would be like Christ. Can you imagine what that'll be? That meant to Paul, it'd be no more persecution, no more jail time. No more shipwrecks, no more beatings, no more time in prison, no more time in famine and thirsting and people rejecting him and his friends leaving him, none of that. No more would he battle with sin Read Romans chapter 7. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That's his old nature. No more battle with sin. Not one more time would he be tempted. And no more battle with the world and Satan and his flesh. He'd be home. And Paul said, "I press toward the prize of the upward calling of Jesus Christ. I am pressing on." And see, we need a powerful motivation. We're heading home, and we're going to work, and we're going to slave, and we're going to do our part until Jesus takes us out of here. 1 John chapter 3 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We will be like Christ. What a wonderful motivation. I'd like to notice another one, and that is this. We need also a practical, put it this way, a practical perspective. You look with me at verse 16, or 15 rather. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." In other words, have the same mind to press on, keep going forward, keeping your goals right. But here's what he also says. "And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you." The practical perspective was, Paul understood that not all Christians thought this way. Not all Christians understood this. Not all Christians were on the same page. Not all Christians had this mindset. He understood that. And he was patient with them. That if you're not of the same mind, you know, the Lord will reveal that to you. It is not going to stop me. It's not going to keep me from being what God wants me to be and doing what God wants me to do. I'm going to keep on course. But I also understand that there are others that just aren't going to be. Sometimes it gets discouraging. When we look at people and work with people, and man, it just seems like we've invited them. They claim to be saved, but they're just not there. Well, God's not done with them. If they have the Holy Spirit's still alive, powerful, and going to work. We keep doing our part. We keep inviting, loving, helping. But we also have to realize not all are going to be on the same page. But we're to keep going. And Paul's talking here about Christians who are truly right in their standing, but not right in their walk. And even though they don't have the attitude or think this way or live this way or set their goals this way, God will reveal it to them. I need to understand that, and I just need to keep going. And that's just plain practical perspective. I'd like you to notice lastly, and that gets us to verse 16, we also need the proper conformity ultimately is to Jesus Christ. And here he says, "Nevertheless, whereto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." That is a call to the church for the church to be unified. Church, keep your goals right, go the same way, and that's this. Keep your eyes on Christ. Strive to become like Christ. That's what brings glory to God. That's what also brings evidence of salvation to those around you. Is it makes visible the truth that God is real and God is alive. It enhances the cause of Christ. It brings joy and peace to the believer. And it brings equipping people for the ministry. It brings opportunity to teach and to touch other lives, and it also preserves us from defeat. So very simply, keep looking to Jesus. Keep pursuing, keep going forward. You say practically, that means keep reading your Bible. That means keep going to church. That means keep witnessing. That means keep confessing sin when it enters your life. That means keep obeying and listening to the Holy Spirit. That means keep giving to the ministry and to missions. Keep serving. Keep striving. Keep going. Paul says that's what we're to do. We're to keep a proper awareness. We've not arrived. We're to give it maximum effort. Keep doing what's right. We're to keep a focus upon Christ and the finish line. And we're to keep motivated to be like Him. And because we will be with Him. And we need a proper perspective. Not all have that idea or that goal. But we're to keep going because our proper conformity ultimately is to be like Christ. Now let me ask you this question as we close. How did you do this last week? See, sometimes we get a little discouraged. You ever get discouraged? You just get tired. You say, man, is it worth it? Man, I've been praying for how many years for that person to get saved, and I don't see God working. Now, my question is, at what point do we stop? We don't stop because we're not there yet. One of these days we will be. The question is, are we there yet? No. When are we going to stop? And the kids hated this. We're not going to till we get there. That should be the Christian life. And Paul says this. He says in verse 12, not as though it already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That's to be like Him. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, or upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be mature, perfect, be thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us mind the same things. Keep growing to be like Christ. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. It's the middle of the summer. We started the theme at the beginning in January. Now I want to challenge you. We got Bible school coming. We got Awana coming. You have opportunities this week. Listen, you haven't made it yet. I haven't made it yet. We aren't there yet. When are we going to stop? It should be never. Until death or the rapture calls us home. Keep praying. Keep passing out tracts. Keep walking with the Lord, listening to His voice, yielding to Him. Confessing sin when it arrives. Keep giving. Keep serving. Keep touching. Don't quit. Press on like Paul. Our Father, we do thank this so much for your word, and Lord, we just thank this so much for the privilege to preach and teach, and Lord, be challenged by this passage. Lord, all of us need to focus upon you. We need a clear understanding that we're not going to arrive in this lifetime, but that ought to challenge us to strive and to work and to give and to do our part. And Lord, help it to be our goal to be like you, to be used by you, to please you in all things. And Lord, help us to have that motivation. And Lord, help us also have an understanding that even though others aren't there yet, haven't come to that conclusion or that desire or that goal, Lord, help us to be patient and love them. And Lord, help it not to shake us, but Lord, help us to continue on looking forward and never stop. And Lord, we ask you to bless, and we might have a wonderful week of service. Lord, we think of the plaza service this afternoon. We thank you for what you're doing there, and we think also of the evening service. We ask you to work. And Lord, may we grow. may we be used. We ask in Jesus' precious name.